A Brief History of Pan-Africanism by New Internationalist Magazine. Secondary Source. 6. Nkrumah Takes Up the Flame. The 5th Pan-African Congress in 1945 had Du Bois, now 73, as its honorary chair, and Amy Ashwood, Marcus Garvey's first wife, presiding over its first session. But the torch had in reality passed to a new generation of Pan-Africanists from the continent itself, including Kwame Nkrumah and Jomo Kenyatta. Nkrumah soon became the voice and organizing force of Pan-Africanism. In the late 1940s and 1950s, he promoted the idea of an independent West African Federation, seen as a first step towards a United States of Africa. When, in March 1957, he became leader of the newly independent state of Ghana, one of his first thoughts was to use his new position to help other Africans transcend the old colonial boundaries and work towards uniting the continent. He convened a conference of independent states in 1958, though at that stage there were only 8 independent countries in Africa. He also went immediately to the aid of independent Guinea when France victimized it for rejecting membership of the post-colonial African franc zone. Nkrumah and the Guinean leader, Sékou Touré, agreed to a union of their two countries, which they hoped would prefigure wider African unity. 7. Crossroads in Congo. This was a key moment of decision for Africa. Should it pursue Nkrumah's goal of Pan-African unity or that of national independence? In general, the former French colonies were much less keen on the idea of unity, preferring to retain their ties with Paris. As a result, they boycotted the Second Conference of Independent States in 1960. The crisis in the former Belgian Congo helped to bring this division to a head. The first Prime Minister of Congo, Patrice Lumumba, was an enthusiastic supporter of Nkrumah's Pan-African vision. Backed by a mining transnational and by Belgian troops, soldiers from Katanga province took up arms aiming to secede and soon had Lumumba in captivity, eventually murdering him 4 years later. The United Nations, with the U.S. looming large, sent peacekeepers seen as favoring anti-Lumumba forces. A group of Francophone independent states held a conference in Brazzaville, which praised the Belgian UN action in Congo. The other independent states held a separate meeting in Casablanca, which denounced it. The political divide was important. The Brazzaville group believed that Pan-African socialism would frighten the West away and rob Africa of the aid and investment it needed for development. The Casablanca group argued that Western economic exploitation meant it was more important to develop an African common market and institutions than to go cap in hand for aid. Another conference in Monrovia in 1961 involving both sides failed to bridge the gap. 8. Nationalism ascendant. In effect, the nationalists won the day. There were still idealistic attempts to move the unity along. Notably, the proposed East African Union, in which Julius Nyerere of Tanganyika and Milton Obote of Uganda agreed to merge their countries with Kenya under that country's leader, Jomo Kenyatta. But even this initiative foundered on the rocks. It was too easy to run with the model of the independent nation-state favored by the West, which preferred the stability of handing over power to an indigenous elite within the old colonial boundaries. Besides, it was a time full of optimism that the new nations of the Third World, now finding their voice in the United Nations, would be able to compete on the world stage. Instead of the United States of Africa dreamed of by Nkrumah, the Organization of African Unity, OAU, came into being in 1963 with a headquarters in the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa. The OAU has since been a fairly ineffective collection of nation-states, much like any other regional grouping, though it does retain in its constitution the ideal of Pan-African Union. In practice, this remained a moribund, forgotten project for decades. It was only as an end of the 20th century bloomed as the instability of the African status quo and the inexorable progress of globalization became ever more evident that the Pan-African vision came back into sharp focus.